We're going to be speaking to Clinton van Niekerk, who is from Rademeier Attorneys, and we are going to be discussing with him the very vexed issue of employment of policemen with criminal records. The mind boggles. Clinton, good afternoon. How are you? And thank you for being with us.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Clinton, this is kind of a really bizarre subject. Apparently, Becky Cele in Parliament quite recently admitted and owned up to the facts that there are more than 4,000 policemen employed in the SAPS with criminal records. And we're not talking traffic offences here. We're talking significant offences. How can that be?
Yeah, look, it is a very sensitive issue, especially with what is happening in the news and all over South Africa, really. You know, coming out of Women's Month and,
sure,
and, all the violence against women that's being committed and children as well. You know, it always raises questions like this. And, you know, I did look at the statistics. It was said that there were some just under 4,200, I believe, officers, who had criminal records, but they did specify that a lot of them were traffic offences, but obviously that doesn't really allay our fears. It's difficult to imagine how somebody can be employed in that field whilst having a criminal conviction. And, it does raise a lot of questions about how we police and, you know, how we're protecting our communities.
Clinton, is there a legislative environment that dictates who they can and can't employ?
So, you know, it raises a lot of questions in law and also philosophically speaking. And I think it's important to look at the philosophy behind our justice system.
Okay.
Our justice system is very clear. It's not supposed to be merely a means to punish criminals, but it's also a means to restore them to becoming productive individuals in our society once again. So it's a difficult question to answer because, you know, in one breath we say we don't want criminals to be part of our society, but in another we can't just condemn them to not being part of society ever again.
I hear you loud and clear, and on a certain level that makes a whole bunch of sense to me, but on another level it doesn't. You know, I come from the insurance background, so you cannot rely on insurance policy with fidelity cover to respond if you're putting a crook in a finance department. Sure, by all means give them a job, but don't put them in finance if they've been arrested for monetary fraud. And it seems to me that a significant number of these offences were actually quite serious. Sinati, what did you read out to me earlier?
So the offences range from assault, theft, kidnapping, and fraud. Imagine,
and these are and the murder. Things. I think you even mentioned murder in there.
There's been some mention of murder as well. And I'm just, and it's like even with this case of this guy that allegedly murdered Uyine Nemkhwetyana. The minister of telecommunications has asked, why was this guy allowed to work in the front line where he works with people? That's another thing. I think.
Yes, no, 100%.
Yeah.
100%, yeah.
I think that, listen, I understand this whole thing of rehabilitation, that even if people have gone to jail, whatever, we still must allow them back into society. But there really are certain jobs that you cannot go into.
I'm with you. Clinton, would
no,
there be...
No, that's 100% correct. So we must... You have to bear in mind that that's only the philosophical understanding behind the legal system is rehabilitation. But again, there are specific things that one must look for, and the inherent requirements of the job would dictate whether or not the criminal record of the individual is relevant to the job at hand. And as you pertinently said, when somebody is employed in the financial sector, you would expect that their criminal record would not include fraud, embezzlement, corruption, theft, even any sort of crime that involves dishonesty. And that is a big requirement for even becoming an attorney. Obviously, you don't want your attorney to be guilty of a crime of dishonesty. And, you know, there's also specific careers out there where you would expect that no criminal record would be present, for instance, looking after children.
So let's assume, in the worst case scenario, that exact scenario that you've described, what is your remedy against the government? Would you have legal recourse or an action where they had put somebody in an unsuitable position that caused damage?
That's a very difficult question to answer. But it's the same situation as where there's a criminal who's out on parole or who's out on bail, who has actually got a previous conviction, and they are let out on bail and they commit another offense whilst on bail. There are cases where that has resulted in claims and damages being sought from the government, and successfully so.
That is interesting.
So I would assume that obviously the same would apply, where you've got a police force where those employed have criminal records, and it should have been clear that that would have been a danger to society.
Wow, we live in interesting times, that is for absolute sure. Clinton, it is interesting because it's just the way it is, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And I mean, even now with this guy that allegedly killed Uyinene, the EFF is actually taking this legally, and they're going to lay a case against the Minister of Telecommunications.
Or maybe that's the only way to bring change. Maybe that's the way it has to happen. Clinton, thank you so much for your input. That's Clinton van Niekerk from Rademeier Attorneys.